Yeah, I hear ya.
No, you listen. You guys locked me out on the patio, and I politely tapped on the window.
Whoa, time out. With your gun.
Debatable.
The weekly hangover. This'll probably hurt, but you'll be thirsty for more.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are absolutely pumped and excited to come at you live from Lynchburg, Virginia, episode number 7. Back at it again. It's definitely been a good couple of weeks, learning a little more each time. It's been good. Got Kevin Filiberto again in live, not on a phone call. It's going to be good. Kevin, say what's up, man.
What's going on? I am very excited to get to do this in person instead of trying to work it out over the phone and just have to deal with all the issues that we have to deal with there. This will be a lot better.
I mean, the issues have been kind of crappy, but it's not as crappy now. We've got like a steady good crap.
no more Dookie Chronicles.
Oh, gosh, no. In Lynchburg, dude, we got a pretty big weekend planned this weekend. I'm pretty pumped for it.
Oh, yeah. I have very high expectations. I think it's going to be a good weekend.
High expectations. Dude, before we jump into that, please tell me about your weekend.
My week?
No, your week. Tell me about your week.
My week was good. I realized I get more and more tired at the end of every day. I read that teachers have to make more decisions in a minute than brain surgeons. So teachers are like notoriously exhausted at the end of the day. And so we ended off this week by playing adult versus student dodgeball. And we told all the kids it was so they could get their chance at us. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was
going good.
Yeah. That guy pulled one over on them real quick. They didn't realize they were dealing with a bunch of grown men ready to let off some steam. And no, it was a lot of fun. And at the end of the day, nobody got really hurt. And it was cool. It was a good way to end off the week and send everybody into the weekend. Man, that job just exhausts me. So it was fun to boil some steam off out there real quick.
I mean, I know you said no one got really hurt, but I know you said there are a couple of kids that, you know, got borderline.
Yeah, I guess it's important to clarify what I consider really hurt. I meant nobody got carted off. Several kids had to go to the nurse, but we had, I pulled the old bait and switch on one student where I threw a ball up really high and drew his eyes up there, and I actually felt bad because he was looking, both hands went up for it, and then he caught one right in the chest, and it was good. It was a lot of fun. Dodgeball is the best game, and so, like, certain schools, they don't allow it, but we've been playing it at my school for the past 5 years at least, so thankfully they don't have any problems with it here, but it's too much fun to give up, that's for sure.
That reminds me, like, when we used to play, like, schoolyard football in who is it? Like Matt Moran would throw like super high, like a hospital ball or something.
Yeah.
It just reminded me, like, gosh, that guy was such a. Yeah, he's good.
He's good. Shout out to Matt Moran. He's a hoss. Hope you're listening, man.
Dude, anything else been happening in your week? How's the lady?
Lady's good. Still pregnant. That's good. We're really excited to find out the gender on Monday. We are like counting down, spinning excited. I haven't gotten too worked up about it, but now that it's really close, I just need to find out if I'm having a boy or a girl. So I'm super excited.
It's going to be little Gertie or Gertrude for the names. Let's, we'll go with those.
Yeah. We'll probably keep it traditional, something like, Jamal or something, a family name like that, and just keep everything in the family.
Pretty traditional, I guess. Thanks for asking about my weekend or my week.
Well, I know your week has come to a climax now that you're here in Lynchburg with me, so I feel like we can just jump to the good stuff. No, but how was your week? What do you got going on this past week?
Well, got to hang out with the babe a lot. She took me to Cheesecake Factory. Incredible.
Does she listen to this podcast?
She has. She says she's into it. Like, she likes it because it's funny.
Yeah.
I mean, she thinks I'm funny.
She's probably laughing at you.
it's entirely okay. Hey, babe. But, she has listened to it. She says it's funny. She likes listening to it so far. But we went out on a date. We try to do make dinner at least once a week. That's been going good. Work's been good. My boss is one of my best friends. You know him. But people that don't, he's my boss. my fearless leader, not my president, you know, but but it's been good. It's been a good week so far. This weekend, you know, we planned this, what, a week, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago. Funny thing about that is during those planning times, you were like, oh yeah, either this weekend or next weekend. And I thought I made it really clear that 2 weeks ago, last weekend wasn't going to work. And then you kept giving me these updates like, yeah, I think next week it'll be better. And I was just like, yeah, because you can't come this weekend. And so I was happy you were just, we set on this weekend instead.
I was there last week. You just didn't know I was there.
What is your, what's your favorite and your least favorite thing about your job?
My favorite thing is it's a good environment. It's a good outlet. Like I work for a mortgage company for people that don't know. I'm going to leave the name out of it because I don't want to get fired eventually. But I work for a mortgage company and it's good, a good environment. Like everyone's super outgoing. Most people are friendly. The least favorite thing would probably be I'm in a desk, you know? I mean, the last job that I did, I was working for the tile company, which, you know, lifting thousands of pounds a day and got severe back problems. But what about you? Highlight, low light of not a specific scenario, but what's the biggest thing?
Highlight is, it's actually funny because my highlight and low light are actually the same because I really like working with kids. I really just like working with people and kids are just great. They're funny, you know, so it's a lot of fun working with kids, seeing kids grow and learn stuff. And then the low light is those kids drive me nuts. I realize every day I have these hundreds, 150 kids on my own, not to mention all the other teachers' kids because we share one gym. And so I get closer and closer to having a mental breakdown every day. So you might need a new repeat guest on this show because I don't know if they're going to let me do a podcast from an insane asylum once I do eventually snap.
Dude, I'll give you a call. I'll stop in.
My stories will get a lot more interesting when I'm making them up.
Like, yeah, I was climbing the walls with my mind. Yeah. Okay, good talk, bro.
Yeah, but it is. I like being able to be active since I am a PE teacher. I get to play a lot of games and essentially like get exercise while I'm working. So that part I really enjoy. And then the downside is just how just loud and chaotic it is just all the time, incessantly for the whole day.
I don't know if you knew or remember. I originally wanted to do education, but I definitely took a different path and turned into the blossoming flower I am today.
Yeah, I know. I actually looked at my master's transcripts for college, and it had my undergrad as well. And I had so many different undergrad majors before I settled on one, and then ended up getting a job in a different field anyway. So that was kind of funny to look back.
Well, you originally went to well, when I first met you, you originally went to school for history, if I'm right?
That's what I finished with, was history.
Okay.
When I originally went to school, it was for psychology.
Probably like interpretive dance or
anything. Yeah, that was going to be my focus. No, I really like psychology. And then I realized I didn't want to be in school forever because, you know, you need so much more than just an undergrad degree. So then I settled on education and I couldn't pick which topic I want to teach. So I jumped around from like earth science to biology and then settled on history. And then after I student taught in history, I realized even though I really enjoy it, it's tough to get like kids excited to go learn about history. So I kind of switched it up, went to PE. Glad I did that. And so that's where I'm at now.
But do you think you'll be in education or are you going to plan your exodus?
I don't think I'm going to be in education next week if I can avoid it. I'm really thankful for the job and all the times I've had and the experience. But I'm desperately looking to get out. I have a master's degree now in marketing. So if any of our 16 listeners have an in or an entrance to the marketing field, you know, let me know. I'll shoot you my resume and thank you for it. But yeah, I'm looking to get out of education, looking to get into marketing. I just like that field a lot. And so I'm hoping I can find something in it soon.
By the way, quick shout out to all of our 1,839 listeners. First episode we had, I think, 98 or 100, now we're 1,800, iTunes, Google Play, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook.
People listen on Instagram.
Well, I send out links, unwanted links to people. Tell everyone what we got planned tomorrow. It's pretty big. I'm pretty pumped. Well, actually, time out. What do we do? Tell them what we did tonight, what we did outside. Tell them about my... Only tell him about the best group.
So Dan has never in his life shot a bow and arrow before of any kind. And so I was able to take him from being a complete rookie who's never even seen a bow and arrow, I believe.
This is a blatant.
Dan shot before. I don't know how good or bad he was in the past.
Okay, so I used to work at a kid's summer camp, and occasionally, like once a week, we would teach archery, and they were just the recurve bows, which are non-compound bows, and, you know, it was okay. You just pretty much teach them, like, face it forward, draw back to your ear, and, you know, go nuts. Like, that's pretty much all it was. It wasn't anything as extensive as we had out here. I have two compound bows that my brother gave me, and he was like, yeah, they're left-handed bows, so I've never shot them before until tonight. But it actually went pretty well for the first, well, the first, I was like six shots for O, 6-0.
Six and six.
What?
6-for-6. You had six good shot. Like, yeah, nothing missed on the first six.
I didn't miss any, so wouldn't it be 0?
6-4-6. Not 6-0.
Yeah, I'm 6. Like, all right, when you
It's win, not like the bag beat right, you.
When you were a football coach, were you guys, how many games did you play? 12?
8.
8?
Mm-hmm.
So you were, let's say you're undefeated, right?
Yep.
You'd be 8-0.
Correct.
Right? Because I'm undefeated outside in archery.
Because in football, we beat 8 different teams. In archery, you didn't beat the bag. You just hit the bag. But yeah, he did good. You did good. Let's see. So we're taking, I was trying to take somebody with essentially zero experience because you had never used a wrist strap release, correct?
True. Correct.
And the bows are definitely not left-handed bows, they're right-handed bows.
True.
So you're shooting cross-handed, which is difficult. And you started out at 10 yards, drilling the target, which was good. Backed it up to 20, still hitting the target. I think you actually only had 2 misses, and then a couple times it went through the target.
Yeah.
But after we made just a few adjustments on the bow, and I gave you a few tips, you had a 2-inch group right over the bullseye. You know, if a bullseye's 10, you put 2 arrows in the 9 or 10. So ultimately, it was really good, especially for how quick we had to. We only worked for what, an hour and a half? So that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it was, I guess we were probably out there for an hour, and with a few adjustments, it was within 2 inches. I was originally shooting, bottom left?
Yep.
Sometimes top left?
Yeah.
And then with a few adjustments with the sights, it was mostly centered, but also my hand isn't steady, my eyes aren't steady, so, and I'd like occasionally rock, so it was, you know, I did my best.
Yeah, it was, since we're going hunting in less than 12 hours, you know, I think we did by far the best that we could have possibly done. I think I would say it's safe to say that we exceeded the expectations of going from never using that full setup before to being ready to hunt. I'm totally confident that if a deer comes within 20 yards, you will put a kill shot on that deer. Unless you get like just totally excited and freaked out, which is totally like probably going to happen. Be like, Dan, so what happened? I don't know, man. I blacked out. You tell me. But it was good. I was impressed because the toughest thing about archery is being able to identify what you do and repeat it every single time. And you were doing a really good job because for the most part, you were doing the same thing. But you start to get tired, so your front arm would shake a little bit, and that would mean the shot was off. But for the most part, you were really repetitive, which I thought was, like, really good.
I don't know if you remember. Do you remember, well, when you and I used to go shooting at the shooting range, the only time I would have a misfire was when my previously broken hand was hurting and I would limp wrist So, but I felt like literally when I'd either hold it too tight or I'd just get tired. That's the time, most times when I mess up. Or the one time where I was looking through, the sight hole? Or
the peep sight.
Peep sight. And I just completely, I was like, I looked in it and then I just look out and I was like, yeah.
Yeah, it's, that's funny. You know, it's pretty easy because one thing that happens to everybody that shoots archery, but it's one of the most fun parts is watching the arrow, like, fly through the air and smack into the target. And so if you get a little bit overzealous, you're just looking for where you're expecting to see the arrow. And then you pull the trigger and you realize, oh, I wasn't looking at the target at all. I was looking in the woods. And that's where the arrow went. It was fun watching it fly.
What time do you think we're going hunting tomorrow? Oh, what time are we waking up?
Probably wake up at 6:45. Spend some time. I got to, you know, get our scent-free shower. Get ready. Make a nice, slow, quiet walk in. get settled in the blind around, hopefully just maybe 7:30 at the latest.
We're going to keep that in there. But I just did it myself. I'm definitely not prepared my outfit ever for much of any outdoors thing. Like when we went camping, do you remember when I had my duffel bag as like a backpack?
Yeah.
Remember that? So never really ready. I mean, I have all my camping gear now, which I'm pretty proud of. It's not the top of the line or anything. Got everything. When we're going tomorrow, I've got camouflage jacket. I've got some pants that are camouflage. I'm wearing normal boots. Like, you know, it is what it is. You call me an urban hunter.
Thankfully, our setup for tomorrow, you don't actually need to wear camo. So I hope you didn't buy anything. Because we're going to be sitting in a ground blind, which is essentially, for those that don't know, it's like sitting in a tent with windows. So we're just going to be, you really just want to wear dark colors so that way you just blend into the dark background.
Black shirt, gold riding, gray pants.
Yeah. The biggest thing is to not smell, that the wind in our favor, and to not make any giant movements when there's a deer coming, and to not be loud. I think tomorrow is going to be a really good day to hunt, so we should be able to get something on the ground.
I freaking hope, man.
Yeah. What would you say if a deer walks by at 20 yards, which is what we were shooting tonight, what would you put your percentage of hitting that deer at?
100%. I'm mentally strong. My mental game is hot.
That's right.
I would say, I made, 18 out of 20? 17 out of 20? 5 out of 20?
18 out of 20, I think.
18 out of 20. And if I definitely, and obviously, I think the deer is obviously going to be bigger than the targets.
Correct.
Correct. 100%. you're a teacher. Add that up.
Fair enough. We might, with our luck, Dan's going to shoot it tomorrow, hit it in like the back hoof, and we're going to have to track this deer for miles and miles and miles and drag it out of the woods forever.
Strap him in.
Giddy up. We got some work to do. No, I do think that you know where to aim at a deer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where? Tell me. Because I don't believe you.
And it's shoulder, arm,
heart. Oh, good. Yeah, right behind the shoulder. Yeah. All right. I think we're going to put one down, man.
I'm putting anything down that's coming. Going down. Yeah. They're going down.
My biggest fear is that a deer bigger than what I've shot is going to walk by tomorrow, and I don't have a bow, so Dan's going to shoot the bigger deer than me on my ground. Mm-hmm. That'll tick me off real good.
I'm going to take 1,000 photos. I'm never going to let it go. I've never shot a bow before.
Told you.
I've never shot a deer before. Like when you, me, Jordan, Tommy, all the Cunninghams, and all the hunting group went hunting, they're like, oh, has everyone shot a deer? And everyone, you know, at the time, you, was this the second time that you came? Did you only came one time?
Nope. I hunted with Jordan once, and you. Nope. Just Jordan, I think, once before my first New Year's hunt.
Where'd you guys go? The same place?
Yep. Same place, but I think it was just me and Jordan, Tommy, and his dad.
Did you catch it?
Dan's out here trying to catch some deers, folks. No, we didn't see anything. Actually, I saw two deer running, and I pulled my gun up, but they were running across a trail that is where Tommy's tree stand was. And I was like, I could shoot this deer, but I might shoot Tommy. And so I opted to not pull the trigger. Tommy, if you're listening, you're welcome. And then it turns out Tommy was already long gone, so it didn't matter. I just didn't shoot a deer. So we saw some, but we didn't shoot any that day. And then the next time I went with him was that New Year's hunt.
Well, at the time, you already had one deer shot, right? Or was your first deer with Jordan on New Year's Eve?
Yep, my first deer that I ever killed was on New Year's Eve, or New Year's Day, at the big hunt with Jordan and everybody at the big lease.
I remember because Jordan cleaned your deer for a wedding present, right?
Yeah, that's right. And he held to that, too. That's all I got, but it was definitely worth it. I don't know if you remember when did you see the deer I shot?
Yeah, it was bit by the puppies.
Yeah, that's right. So in Virginia, one of the big popular ways to hunt is to use dogs. So you train these dogs to sniff out deer and then you set up hunters along essentially like the back end of the field. So if a field is a perfect square, you sent hunters up, we'll say, on the north end, and then you have deer down at the south end, the dogs down at the south end. The dogs run through the field, and they will just push all the deer towards the hunters so the hunters can shoot them. So that was the first time I hunted like that. And it was pretty cool because it's like kind of high speed, you know. They say when you hear the dogs barking, get ready because that means they're about to push a deer to you. So I was sitting in like the spot. I was literally only there for like maybe 30 minutes and I hear the dogs start to bark. And so I'm like shaking. I'm all excited. I'm all geared up. And then three deer come busting through this cornfield. So I like pull the gun up. Obviously, I find the smallest deer. And I just blast my first shot into it. And this deer just does like this huge like flip over to the side. And I was like super excited and because I hit it. You know, I did not. I bought a gun maybe 3 days before this hunting trip.
It wasn't even set up like Mr. Cunningham set up.
Yeah. I literally brought it to the Cunningham's house in the box. And he set it up for me and got it all dialed in. So it was the first time I shot that gun. I shot a deer with it, which was really cool. It was a shotgun. And so I hit it, but the dogs are trained to chase the deer. So for them, it's like a prize when they get to catch one. And, you know, this was my first time ever hunting, essentially. Definitely the first time ever hunting with dogs. So I didn't know how it was supposed to work. So these dogs start attacking my deer. And it thankfully died pretty quickly. But these dogs are like biting at it. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't want to get bit. I don't know these dogs. I don't know like how they're trained. And they're tearing this animal to pieces. So I'm not about to stick my hand in there. And they ate my deer from like the anus all the way to the hind quarter. It was just insane the damage that these dogs did on that deer in a short amount of time.
Didn't you call Jordan to ask him like what you should do? Because the dogs were... Was that you?
Yeah, so Tommy was just like maybe 50, maybe even less, like 25 yards away from me in his spot. So he came up and I was like, Tommy, what do we do? And he's like, I don't really know. And so we got the dogs off like a little bit, but there was three of them. And so we'd like back them off and then they would just like sick right back on it. So it's not like we just sat there and let them have a buffet. But it was just so like, I wasn't about to hit somebody else's dog, you know, I was like, and then the guy told me later, the guy who owned the dogs and trained them, because he felt really bad that he was like, oh man, I did not, like, these dogs usually know better than that. They know not to like mess with your deer. And I was like, I don't really care. It's my first time. I don't really know. And he's like, dude, next time just grab a stick. And he's like, don't kill it, but freaking beat it, man. And so I was like, oh, what? Now I know. So next time. But it was a lot of fun. That was a super, super fun hunt.
That was fun. I never shot anything. I've been out there, I think, 4 times with them. The first 2 or 3 times, I didn't even have a gun. Like, I just went out to hang out. You know,
it's pretty tough hunting without a gun, huh?
I just, like, one of the times Jordan and I were out in a stand. I think it was one of the times you were there, but actually, I don't know if you were there, but it doesn't matter. Jordan and I were up in a stand and was drinking a little bit of moonshine. And I was like, hey, Jordan, like, are they going to come? Like, and he's just like, he's trying to be quiet. He's like, yeah, man. He's like, yeah, they're going to come. Or he's like, they might come. And then I'm like, oh, this is great. And I'm talking literally as loud as it can go. But that was a lot of fun. And two deer like ran across the way. He shot at them, but they were like already across the way, like when he shot. So no dice on that one.
Yeah, I think it's funny because the type of hunting we do on New Year's with the dogs is so much different from the type of hunting you do that we're going to do tomorrow mm-hmm. with a bow. Because it's like with dogs, you could like sit there on your cell phone, like, you know, making as much noise and as many smells as you want. And just doing whatever you want, you know, you could just be having a conversation loud as you want. But when you're hunting without, like when the deer are in their own environment, it's like the most important thing is to be quiet and to have the wind in your favor. Where that doesn't matter at all when you're hunting with dogs. Hunting with dogs is like a big party, you know, just have a bunch of people hanging out, yeah. Like just a big fun thing. And then when you're hunting with a bow, it's like way more about just being outside and like being in nature and trying to outsmart the deer instead of just trying to like go out and have fun.
What would you say your favorite thing to do while you're hunting? Like what's the favorite part about hunting for you?
So, well, my favorite part about hunting, like the thing I like the most is when a deer, I'm a big bow hunter. That's what I like, bow hunting more than anything else. It was fun to do that hunt with dogs, but now I'm like a diehard bow hunter. So whenever I see a deer walking down the trail that I was expecting the deer to walk down the trail, that's my favorite feeling. When I realize I put myself in the right spot, I did everything planned out the right way. I didn't mess anything up. That's when I feel like I outsmarted the deer. And that's my favorite feeling right there. I hate the feeling of killing the deer, which is super ironic, but that's my least favorite part, is thinking about like, oh, I just killed this deer. Or especially if I make a marginalized shot and the deer's in any pain at all, that like haunts me. But I also really enjoy tracking the deer. So when you shoot it with a bow, they don't just drop, you know, they're going to run away, you know, before they expire. And so, yeah, I'm trying to be politically correct, before it dies. And so, you have to follow the blood trail and everything. And that's like really fun. It's a pretty cool experience.
Have you ever seen the videos, like the voiceovers, the like when a deer gets shot by a bow or a gun, you'd be like, ah, something bit me. No, I haven't. Like when you and I were, the last time I was up here, we shot your bow, your right-handed bow, remember?
Yeah, yeah.
And I shot it with, I held it with my left hand, drew back with my right hand, since I'm left-handed, but that's how you normally do it with, I don't know why my hand's up right now. But when I was drawing it back and then I released it, dude, it hurts. I like almost dropped it. I was like, I wanted to cry. You remember that hurt? Oh, so yeah. I was like, it bit me.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. So Dan was shooting a right-handed bow as a left-handed person. So his form was way off. Not to mention, my bow is set at 70 pounds, and Dan doesn't shoot compound bows, so his body's not used to pulling that amount of weight back. So he pulls it back, he gets it back, but everything on his body is like out of what I would say proper position. He's pretty much just like holding on for dear life. And as soon as he thinks he's got it pointed at the target, he just hits the trigger to like get out of there. And so his arm's all crooked. And that string comes flying by and just whips him in the arm. And it left this giant, giant welt. The welt was so big, if you didn't know any better, you would have assumed that his hand was in between the bow and the string. And the string came straight onto it. It was bad.
It felt like a lashing. It hurt so stinking bad.
Oh, man, that was too funny. But tonight, it only happened once?
But it was like just a graze. It wasn't even... It like didn't even hurt. It wasn't even a comparison to the old, like the other one. That the first one, I wanted to cry. But one, you're around. Two, another, you know, a guy's around. So I wanted to cry, but you know.
Whatever. Oh yeah. So I have a question. Did you think you were going to shoot as good as you did if you had to guess tonight, shooting 18 for 20 on target and probably 10 for 20 in the bullseye?
No, because I've only shot, like I said, I've only shot a compound a couple of times. And the only time, I've never done it with a trigger release.
Yeah.
I've only done it just pulling it back three fingers.
Yeah, yeah.
And yakaka.
Yeah, yeah. Just firing it off.
No, I thought with a normal recurve bow, I was okay.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I probably would have hit 15, 17 out of 20. So.
Did you shoot that far of a distance with a recurve bow?
It was probably about 15 to 20
yards.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, it was for the kids. Like, they were all crappy. Like, you know, all the bows are awful. But yeah, about 15, probably 20 yards. So, I mean, I did incredible.
Yeah. Well, I thought you did really good. I was really impressed. I love archery, man. But it is not that easy of a like sport to learn or whatever. So, I was impressed that you were drilling them in there.
I wish the draw weight was lighter, because like after like what 20 or some so shots, it was just it wasn't tough. It was just like, you know, I'm getting a little tired now, right? Because I'm out of shape.
That's what happens when you're in peak physical condition. Yeah, no, it's definitely. So I remember the first time I ever shot a compound bow or a bow at all was at my buddy Craig's house, and he had one. I have no idea what weight it was set at, and I've been working out, and so I was probably at my biggest like weight wise. And I couldn't pull it back. It took me probably four tries just to get it back. And we didn't have a release. You know, we were just, there was no sight on the bow. We just pulled this thing back, sort of pointed at the target and open our hand and hope for the best. And the best, the target was like 50 yards away. There was like a 0% chance of anybody hitting this stupid target. And so I remember I just, when the first time I shot it, or the first time I actually shot it, when I was finally able to pull that stupid bow back, I shot that thing like 30 yards above the, like, so like straight above the target. That arrow was gone. Craig's like, dude, I got people that live back there. Because, you know, he had woods behind his house. But eventually there was going to be another house. And I shot it so high, it probably just ended up in some poor guy's backyard. But it is, so the thing with pulling it back is it's like there's these only a few small muscles in your back that don't really get used for anything else. So it is pretty tough to get, like, to build those muscles up to shoot consistently.
All my muscles are built. I've been hitting the gym.
All your muscles are something.
They're there. What would you say to someone like myself would be, give me 2-3 pieces of advice for someone who wants to start out?
In archery? Or
archery.
For someone that wants to start out in archery, the advice I would give them...
Three pieces.
The first I would say is to... Get a good instructor. Find somebody else that shoots that's like actually decent, like you have with me.
Say sorry.
Got to get that in before any insults. But it's important. So I would consider myself self-taught. So I learned totally on YouTube and through podcasts, and just had to kind of make it work from there. So I had a really big learning curve. Whereas if I had somebody that was like with me teaching me, it would have been cut down by like a ridiculous amount. It would have been so much faster. My second piece of advice would be to make sure you get a bow that fits you, because like if your bow isn't set up for your like height and your wingspan, you're not going to be able to shoot it efficiently. And then my third piece of advice would be to just spend as much time as you can shooting. If you're going to get into archery, you have to make sure you enjoy the aspect of drawing the bow back and letting the arrow go. That's like, you know, that's what you do a lot of the time. So make sure you just have, you're able to dedicate a lot of time towards it.
Pretty solid. Pretty solid three pieces of advice. Me as an expert, I would say have fun.
Solid.
That's one, two, that's and
powerful advice right there.
So tomorrow we're waking up at 6:45, 7. Are we walking out there or driving out there?
I don't know yet. I actually kind of want to just walk.
Let's talk about this. I know you said
it. Drop Dan off. And then
you said it's kind of a walking distance, but realistically, how far is it?
If we walked, we would be sitting down in no more than 15 minutes. Mm. I'm serious.
I don't know if I should trust these 15 minutes.
No more. I mean, no more from the time we left the front door to the time we sat down. 15 minutes at the most.
We got to carry all of our crap.
What do you mean all of our crap? We have one backpack and one bow, and that's it. Everything else is out there.
All right. So get out there. We'll be out there by what, 7:15? What time is sunrise?
Sunrise is 7:45. So I'd like to be sitting by... Yeah, we might have to wake up a little bit earlier now that I'm... planning it all out. I'd like to be sitting by 7:15.
Well, we can get up 6:45. That'll be good.
6:44, way earlier.
I'm giving a prediction right now. We're going to see first animal. I'm shooting at anything.
You better believe it. I don't care if the neighbor walks by. He's getting arrow.
The neighbor's pooch?
Yeah, that's right.
Old biscuit?
Little beagle walks by? That thing's going to be mounted.
Dude, speaking of mount, as I'm looking, I've seen one of your mounts that was up there before, but the second one, that's, what is that, an 8-pointer?
Yep. So the first one is a 7-pointer, which I like, but it's a, I really like clean racks, clean, typical, like, so even on both sides. The second one's an 8-pointer, but the deer must have been a fighter because one of the points is broken off.
On the left side?
So, yep. So that second to last point. And now it's broken off low enough that it's just considered an 8-pointer, which I kind of like about. But I also really like, my favorite thing about like bucks, you know, some people would be like, oh, I like non-typical. So they like bucks that have a whole bunch of crazy stuff going off. Some people like it's just not symmetrical. There's just a bunch of pointers coming out of the antlers at all funky directions.
Yeah.
Some people want them to be really symmetrical and really clean and like exactly the same on both sides and no stickers. Like, so just the big main points coming off of each side.
Mm-hmm.
I like both, but the thing I like the most, I like bucks with that I have that I call like character. So this buck had a one of the points broken off,
mm-hmm.
which I think is just so awesome. Because,
he's been through the mill.
Yeah, he literally fought another buck hard enough that he broke his bone, his antler. And I think that's just like super tough. So that's my favorite thing. I like bucks with character. You know, I don't really care if they're super like clean or super symmetrical or have all sorts of crazy stuff. I wanted to, like, I really like dark racks and I really like ones that show some character, like having broken points and stuff like that.
Rack City.
That's right. Look, I like a good rack more than the next guy, but I can say that because my wife does not listen to this podcast.
My girlfriend does.
No, I do think, so we are, today we had a high of like 75, I think.
It was like 80 Richmond.
Well, we're not in Richmond, Dan, so I think it was a high of 75 here in Lynchburg, and tomorrow we have a high of 55. And so that is a 20-degree temperature swing. I'm a teacher. And that's about as good as it gets for deer hunting. You want that temperature to drop. Big cold front coming in. That's when the deer get moving. So I don't know if tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon will be better. If we're able to get out two different times, I think we would definitely see a couple different deer. So I'm hoping we'll see something early in the morning. Put one down. Be home by lunch. And that'll be it.
Cook up some deer
steak. Cook up some venison. That'd be sweet.
I love some venison.
Yeah, I don't know if I said this in the other podcast, but I specifically donated my entire first deer that way I'd be motivated to keep hunting and get my own venison.
You did tell that.
Yeah.
You don't need to repeat yourself, Kevin.
Well, I like to repeat myself. I think the people like to listen to me. And but yeah, so are you going to shoot, if you saw a tiny little fawn?
Yes.
Would you shoot at a squirrel?
Well, with a bow?
Yeah.
Squirrel with a bow.
Oh, yeah.
My grouping is, yes, I'm going to shoot. The answer is yes, going to shoot at him. But I know I probably won't, I'm not going to hit the squirrel unless he's really close to me, like enough to grab it.
Yeah. I don't know. I really have high expectations.
I'm going to shoot tomorrow.
I think, just going to send an arrow into the woods. Yeah. I'm thinking if a deer comes within 20 yards, I think that deer's going to have an arrow in it. And I think that deer's going to be dead. And you're going to get to drag it out, slice it up, bang, boom.
I'm not going to... I will not shoot a fawn. I should not, right?
Nope. That's totally game. They taste better than everything else.
I know. I've heard it tastes better. I've only had other venison, but I've never had any. What is like young veal?
Yeah, yeah. Veal is that's young, like young lamb, I think.
Oh. Let's edit that. would you shoot a...
I would not shoot a fawn. I would also not shoot a spike personally.
What's a spike?
A spike is a young buck that just has antlers that come straight up. So like a one point on each side. So if you see a spike, I would expect... Yeah, no. But I don't think anybody should not shoot a spike. I wouldn't shoot a spike because now that I've shot two other bucks, I'm trying to like constantly increase the size and like age class of the deer I'm going after. But I think if you see a spike and you don't, I would probably punch you square in the face. If you were like, no, it's too small for me, I would just kill you. You need to just shoot the first deer you see because you're still essentially a first-time hunter since you haven't killed yet. I would not shoot a spike.
Oh,
but
I shot a blue jay once. The first, my friend Trevor's house. He's like, you want to shoot a gun? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. It was it was a shotgun, but I shot it up into a tree and shot a baby blue jay.
I remember I had like a CO2 airsoft pistol, and my buddy, some friends were over at my house, and they were playing with it. And so my friend James went into my house, pulled out a loaf of bread in my like super suburban backyard. There's like no animals, like not even songbirds. And he's throwing bread out in my backyard, like not even 10 yards away from him. And he's going, caw, caw. Like he's going to call a bird in to shoot it with my CO2 pistol. It was so funny. He didn't shoot anything that day.
Was this back on Strong Island?
I was back on Strong Island, like super suburban living. Like no deer is just going to come and like sit on our lap. It's so funny.
Was it West Northport?
East Northport.
That was pretty close.
I'm getting close.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
I'm always like Southeast, West, Northeast, Westport.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because there's Northport and then there's East Northport. And East Northport is directly south of Northport. But they were like, nobody's going to understand if we call it South Northport. So they just decided to call it East Northport instead.
Hmm.
Like, they should have just given it its own name.
I'm glad I knew that. I can't wait to go to Longmont.
Can't wait to edit that out.
So if we do get to go twice tomorrow, I'm guaranteed for once, because I'm gonna be tired tomorrow. I'm gonna be tired. I'm gonna be useless. No, no, I'm definitely one time, but if depends on how tired I am, you know.
I have a question. If you see a deer and you shoot it, what is your expectation of what's gonna happen? Since you've never shot a deer with a bow before. Like, what in your mind what are you expecting?
What's my expectation for what?
Like, after you shoot that deer with the arrow, when the arrow hits the deer, what do you think is going to happen?
I'm going to throw my bow. Like, I'm like, yeah!
What do you think the deer is going to do?
Run.
Okay.
Like, I don't, he's not going to drop. Like, right. He's probably going to be like, yeah! You know, it bit me. And then if, you know, because I'll probably shoot it in the leg or something. But, you know, if we have to chase him, you know, hunt him down. I'm down for that. That'd be great. If he's still alive, I'm going to take him out. My Jack Hawk 9000.
Yeah. I've made poor shots before and when I was younger, newer into hunting a year ago. And so one time I shot a deer and I hit it in the spine, which sucks because, you know, then that deer is in pain, which is like my worst feeling.
Yeah.
But the plus side of that is that way the deer doesn't go anywhere. It just falls right where it is, and it's essentially paralyzed. So the deer dropped right where it was, and wherever I hit it, it was the back two legs couldn't move, but the front two legs could. So my plan was to just get down out of my stand and then just slit its throat, because I thought that would be the quickest way to, like, put it down.
Yeah.
And so I had my buddy come, and he was coming to help me.
Who are you with?
My buddy Michael Summers. Shout out to Summers.
Hey.
One of our listeners. What's up?
We'll see if we can edit this out, but if not, we're going to get a bit segment on camping tomorrow.
Yeah. And yeah. People, you need to understand, you ask, we listen, we provide. Summers wants a camping podcast. Summers is getting a camping podcast.
Back to this. So your deer that you shot in the back, because your poor shot.
Yeah. So the whole, well, without getting too much into it, it was one of the first times I shot out of a tree stand, which was difficult for
me. Were you shooting down?
Yeah. So I misjudged my yardage because of my angle. So I hit the deer high, hit it in the spine. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to climb down and put it out of its misery with by cutting its jugular. And so when we got down there, my buddy Summers came over and he's like, dude, do not get behind that deer, because it was like bucking up so much because the front two legs were working. So it was like swinging its horns even just as we were like walking to it. So I was like, yeah, I'm definitely going to catch an antler in the hand. So what I was able to do is just like put another arrow in and like back off enough. And when the buck put both arms down and lifted itself up, I was able to put like a really easily shot arrow right into its heart, and it died right after that. So hopefully you just put one clean one right through both lungs, and that thing will just run and fall over, and we'll gut it, carry it back, get it dressed up. Do you want to, this is another good question, when you shoot a deer tomorrow, after you gut it, because I'm going to make you do all that fun stuff. No, I'll help you gut it. I wouldn't mind doing it for you since it's your first one. But do you want to butcher it yourself and just take a bunch of chunks of meat home?
Yeah.
Yeah? That'd be sick.
See, eventually, all right, since I'm a pro hunter currently, I've always wanted a bearskin rug.
Oh, yeah.
It would be unbearable. I couldn't bear it. But I would love, but it, taxidermy is very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it'd be cool. If most likely it's going to be a humongous buck or a little baby. But I would definitely, I'm definitely taking the horns, taking the antlers.
If there's horns.
There's good. Yeah, it's reindeer.
We hunt reindeer.
I definitely would like to, I don't know how to, like, I've seen videos on how to clean a deer and like, but I mean, I've never done it.
Yeah.
Seen it live. Your deer.
Yeah.
And the other deer, but I don't know.
Oh yeah.
I'm definitely going to take it home. Like I'm going to take some meat home, you know?
Yeah. See, gutting the deer is, that's actually relatively easy. Like field dressing it. The tough part is butchering it, like getting the cuts of meat off, since I don't do that. When we killed the deer with Jordan, they had like an actual butcher there. And I don't know if you saw him do it. He did the whole deer in like maybe 3 minutes.
Oh, tops. Yeah, I remember that.
That was the craziest thing. It was wild. And so I don't do that myself. I take my deer to get processed when I'm going to like get the meat.
How much is
it? Well, it's a little expensive. No, it's like $75. Yeah. And the funny thing is it takes like 2 weeks. And I'm always so confused. I'm like, I literally watched a man do it in 3 minutes. Why do I have to wait 2 weeks? Yeah. Like, I don't get it. But so I want to start to learn how to do that myself.
Tomorrow's our day.
Right. Yeah, let's get it done. I'm stoked. But all right, so you shoot the deer. We track it. We find it. You know, it's sitting there dead.
Yeah.
Are you going to gut it yourself, or would you want me to gut it for you, or a little bit of both?
So right now, I'm going to say I do it myself. Sometimes I have a weak stomach. Like, do you remember when Shane on our dorm almost died for when we were watching the fight between that he got pushed through the glass? That was the only time that I ref that you didn't ref. Do you remember
this? Yep. Yeah. Best decision of my life.
long story short, well, we had this boxing club on our dorm at school, and one of the guys was watching up on a windowsill. Was used like what, 8x8 window?
Yeah, it was a window panel that went the length from the floor to the ceiling.
And he was standing on there just for a different view because we had probably what, like 30 guys in there?
Yeah, I don't know. This night, I remember specifically, it was a lighter night. Like there was less people in there. So there wasn't as many, it was almost like as much of a cushion of people in between the two fighters and the wall or the window.
I was reffing this fight. Kevin took a night off.
That's right.
And I was reffing these two guys. They fought before. And one of the guys that was not fighting was standing on a windowsill. And the two guys were getting close. And I was actually trying to step in between them. But one of the guys got pushed into the guy that was standing on the windowsill. Broke the glass. A piece fell in him. He had his... it looked like O.J. Simpson's murder scene. There was so much blood.
Yeah. He got pushed into the glass. The glass shattered. And as it shattered, a piece literally just stabbed him. And so it went, I think it went 8 inches from his, like, essentially over his kidney. But it cut all the way to his front. I think it cut his small intestine. They did all sorts of surgery.
They took out, I think, like a foot of his intestine. Right?
Yeah, I don't remember if it was small or large.
Yeah, no, it was. And I was talking to Jordan. I was like, man, he's going to die. Like, it was pretty. And then, like, I saw his cut before it started bleeding.
Yeah.
He ran over near me and I was like, oh my, like,
yeah,
I cursed. But his shirt was cut and then it looked like a triangle of probably 7 inches.
Yeah, I think it was between 6 and 8 inches for sure.
And then if you take like a gallon jug of water, aka blood, and pour it out, that's exactly what it was. There's so much blood. And then,
I remember I grabbed a towel and I was holding it on his cut on his back. And so it was me and this kid Hunter that were like holding the towel on there. And I remember I was talking to Hunter because Hunter was like, I'm about to pass out because he's like, I can't look at this, man. And so then he ended up moving and it was me and somebody else like trying to like clot this wound. And
Ethan.
Oh, that's right. Ethan Wall or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so anyway, just for a second, like an idiot, I like just wanted to see where the cut, like I was like, oh, is it that bad? And I pulled the towel out and I mean, blood just, I mean, it was like you said, like a bucket of blood. Like if you just spilt, like if you had a full glass of water and you turned it over, that's how fast blood poured out of this guy's cut. It was intense. And he was touch and go, I think. I mean, it was like the real deal. It was a bad injury.
It was pretty crazy. But I definitely got a little wheezy. And then when you and I were hunting, well, you, me, Jordan, and Tommy, and all them were hunting on New Year's, there was a time where I was like, you know?
When we were gutting the deer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, I'm fine with my own blood.
Yeah.
I drink it all the time.
That's what I wake up to.
I'd like to say that I could do it, but, you know, who knows? I might.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is not cutting open the guts. Mm-hmm. So what you do when you gut a deer is there's a giant, you know, the guts of the deer, so like the intestine and the stomach and everything, is all like encased in this type of plastic. And if you accidentally cut that, that's when it starts to be like really nasty. It just kind of smells like blood for the most part. So as long as you don't cut that, I think we'll be fine. And I can help you along the way, but it'll be, it's not that bad.
Dude, I'm excited for hunting tomorrow. It's going to be a good experience. We're going to get a buck.
That's right.
Or we're going to spend a buck.
I'm gonna go ahead and call my shot. I think at 8:49, a buck's going to come through. And I think you're going to pull the bow back and just drill this thing. And I think you're going to kill a deer tomorrow.
Drill it into a tree.
I think you're going to drill an arrow into the dirt. And the buck of a lifetime is just going to keep on walking like nothing happened.
Well, dude, I'm glad we did this. We're going to get at it tomorrow. Another for a recap.
That's right.
Guys, thanks for stopping in. This has been another episode of the Weekly Hangover.
Cheers.